Well, good morning, everyone. We are live for church this morning. I was just getting text messages from certain people who shall remain unnamed, Lee Kiefer, asking me where we are. So here we are. We are live this morning, giving people a few minutes to join us as we come together for worship. I want to first welcome everyone, whether you're live streaming Facebook, whether you are joining on our new call-in phone number to listen to service. And for those of you who are listening to the service later through the email link or on Facebook as a pre-recorded message, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a great time to do church together in whatever way you're doing it. As people come together this morning, I had a couple announcements, a couple thoughts I wanted to share, a couple requests of you maybe. So the first thing, this week I noticed as we have been sharing different videos on Facebook and connecting in different ways, one of the things that caught my attention was the number of people who are able to see our videos. Some of the sermons and other videos we've posted, anywhere from 300, 400, 500 people have had access to view those, which is amazing considering, you know, our church is usually about 100 people and we have several hundred being able to see our videos. This week I posted that Marvel devotional thought and 11 of you shared that compared to normal 3 or 4. And because more of you shared that video, almost 1,300 people have seen that video. So I would just encourage you, if you hear something during one of our services or one of our videos that you think is really important, that's really impactful during this time, just go ahead and click on that share button if you have Facebook. Because when you think it's important, other people will now be able to see it and get to enjoy it as well. So that's my first request is, hey, if you have Facebook, go ahead and click that share button. The second thing that I would love to see this morning, just because I'm curious, is what is your view from your pew? In other words, what does church look like at your house right now? Are your feet propped up with the screen in front of you? Are you guys still in your pajamas? I thought it'd be kind of a fun way to see one another without actually, you know, seeing each other face to face. If you just took a picture of your view from your pew this morning and post it in the comments, in the stream, on the video, or post it on your Facebook page and tag the church somehow. But I would love to see everyone's view from their pew, for those of you who have Facebook with us this morning. Another request, I'm just going through a long list of them this morning, is call someone. You know, we love church for many reasons, to worship, to worship and dig into God's word, but we also love church because we get to talk to people and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So obviously we're not doing that right now face-to-face, but when service is over, we normally hang out in the lobby for an hour talking. So when service is over, pick up the phone and call someone. I think that'd be a great way to connect. And then the final request I had this morning, I know some of you have been asking, was we've been talking on the phone and whatnot about, well, how is the church doing financially, or what does it look like for us to worship in our giving right now? The primary way we have for offering and tithes and whatnot right now is snail mail. To actually put your offering envelope in a mailbox with a stamp and send it to the church. The church address is 2600 Marietta Avenue, Lancaster, PA, 17601. And I say this not because we're like, hey, we want your money. That's not the point. I know a lot of us are starting to lose income. Our jobs are not, you know, we're not essential employees or whatnot. And we're not saying send us money. We're saying one of the ways we worship is by giving back to God, by saying, God, I trust you because you've given me everything, and so I want to give back to you. And so if you're feeling like, hey, I want to continue to worship in this manner, but I don't know how, this is how. Go ahead and stick something in the mailbox. You know, we're gearing up here at the church with our deacons and whatnot of how can we serve our community when this is all said and done. We know there's going to be financial needs and other things, so we just want to create a way that we can all come together and serve our community as we worship God. So those are my four requests this morning. Hit share on our videos, post a picture of your pew, call someone after service, and use snail mail if you need to increase your worship and other ways of giving back to God. All that said, it looks like we've got quite a few people joining us now this morning, so I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer. And then Tim's going to lead us in worship. If you're viewing this, you can see that Tim and I are not together anymore. Social distancing has gone even more complete, and we found new technology to help us do that. So we're going to dive into worship, and Tim's worshiping from his house. I'm here at the office, but we are all together in the spirit of Christ as we worship. So let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for technology. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in worship in this unique and creative way. God, as we are spread out around the county and around the world, as people are watching on Facebook, God, would you just enable us to come together in the Spirit? As the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and lives, as we worship, as we hear from you, God, help us to feel that we are united as the body of Christ, even in our separation. And this we pray as we come to worship this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. All right, let's worship together. All right. Thank you, Tim, for leading worship. We'll bring Tim back in a little bit at the close of service, but oh, no, he's back now. Hold on, Tim. Did you leave? I guess Tim's back with us. Yeah. We're trying new technology here. So, oh, I know what happened, Tim. I can't.
Oh. Can you leave again?
If you leave, I think you come back automatically as a panelist, though. No, yesterday I had to add you back in.
Yeah.
Let me find out. Hold on, everyone. Technical difficulties. You go ahead and leave again, Tim. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Oh, we're having fun. We love technology. And he's back. I guess you can't leave. Let me just double check to see if I can...
Stop my video and my audio.
Yeah, I mean, we'll still have your blank screen, but that works.
Okay.
All right. Okay, everyone, we are back. I'm just going to go ahead and make sure I'm on the right screen here. At least as I'm preaching and whatnot, I can see. No, I can't. Hold on. Technical difficulties. There we go. I can see some of your responses when you click like and like whatnot. Tim can't see anything, so he's literally sitting in his kitchen worshiping, and so it's a little awkward for him, but I appreciate him doing this with us this morning. Again, stretching us a bit. Over the last 2 weeks now, things have changed a lot, obviously, and I'm hoping that you are falling into your new rhythm, that you're finding what even begins to work for my family through this. For some of you, that might mean there is no alarm clock and you can catch up on sleep because you have nowhere to be, which sounds kind of nice. For others of you, it might mean you're actually putting in overtime at work right now because you're an essential worker in the medical field, you're a truck driver, you work at a grocery store, and so you are actually busier than you've ever been. It might mean that you and the kids are finally figuring out what this homeschooling thing looks like and finding that routine, but whatever your new normal is, I pray that it's becoming a little smoother, that it's becoming a little bit more routine for you. Part of our new regular rhythm at home right now is an afternoon movie. Alan, at 4 years old, has adamantly proclaimed he's done with naps. He will not go to his room for a rest time. And so what we're doing is, hey, you can watch an afternoon movie so that mommy and daddy can try to get some work done. And so for the first week and a half of this two-week period, we got to watch Frozen 2 every day. Thank you so much, Disney Plus, for releasing that early. And so it still does. It's keeping him quiet and content so we can do some work. But I can always hear the movie kind of in the background. And so listening to Frozen 2 for the first week and a half of this new season, one of the lines caught my attention. Something kind of caught my ear in the background. It's early in the movie. Two characters are having a conversation. It's Pabby, Grandpabby, this rock troll character, talking to Anna, one of the princesses. And what he says, and what stuck with me, is he says, when one can see no future, all one can do is the next right thing. And that line kept playing in my head. When one can see no future, all one can do is the next right thing. And I think the line stuck with me because it had essentially been my mantra of sorts since this started. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I'll keep doing the best I can today. I don't know what the future is. I know God knows the future. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to keep following him. I'm going to keep doing the next right thing. I'm going to keep pushing forward, doing one good thing at a time. And so as that line from the movie kept playing through my head, one of the questions that I kind of land on, though, is, well, what is the next right thing? And maybe more importantly, who decides what that next right thing is? For me, and I suspect for many of you, the right thing can only be defined by the right one, the righteous one, the holy one, God himself. And so we as Christians turn to Scripture, we turn to God's recorded word to say, what is the next right thing? What does God tell us to do when the future seems unknown to us? Now, as I was wrestling with this question, someone posted on Facebook, and I don't even remember who this person was, but they posted on Facebook, and let's be honest, for many of us, Facebook is a blessing and a curse right now. Right now, many of you are joining in on the service through Facebook. It is a blessing that we can come together as a church family using Facebook and other technology. There's a lot of great, inspiring things being posted right now. Now, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed already this morning, and like every fourth or fifth post is a church live streaming. I have a lot of pastor friends. I realize I have more pastor friends than most of you, but they are all streaming their church right now. And so Facebook is being flooded with messages of the gospel. There's a lot of positive posts out there. It's also kind of a negative area to go to. If you scroll Facebook and you're looking on social media, there's a lot of panic, a lot of worry, a lot of fear being posted. And so it's hard at times not to be weighed down by reading some of those. But anyway, one of the posts that caught my eye a few days ago was actually an old Billy Graham sermon. And he was preaching on the book of Habakkuk, who's an Old Testament prophet. It's one of the shorter books in the Bible. It's only three chapters long. We as a church here at Hope Warren Christ Church, we have looked at this book in the past. But as I was hearing Billy Graham's sermon, it reminded me of all these parallels between Habakkuk's day and our day. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to walk through the book very quickly as a refresher in what does God say through Habakkuk's encounter with him. What does God say to him and his struggles, and what does that mean for us? Now, it's a very different type of book. Most of the Old Testament prophets, most of these Old Testament books, they record simply, here is what God said. But for Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or however I want to say, I'll change it 16 times today, but when he writes, he's not saying, here's what God said. He says, here's what I said to God, and what God said back to me. He's recording his conversation. He's essentially saying, when the future seemed unsure, here's what I did, and here's what God did. And so I want to jump right in this morning to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it says, or Habakkuk says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk starts his book not with a proclamation about God. He doesn't start with a proclamation from God. He starts with a complaint. He starts with this question. At the bottom line, he's saying, God, what in the world are you doing? God, what in the world are you doing? For Habakkuk, this looked very different from what we're looking at today. He wasn't looking at what, you know, this seemingly unstoppable illness, as it might feel some days. He was instead looking at the evil of mankind. And his question of, God, why are you allowing bad people to do bad things? And it's not just random people in the world. He's saying, God, you are allowing your chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish nation, your holy nation, they are committing these atrocities, God, and you seem to be doing nothing about it. Israel has turned their back on you, God, and there seems to be no response. Now, at this point, the Israelites are supposed to be God's spokespeople in the world. They're supposed to represent him and to display his love and his holiness. But they're not doing that, to say the least. And Habakkuk couldn't understand why God was allowing this to continue. Why God wasn't stepping in to do something. When he couldn't understand what was going on in the world around him, he does the first right thing. He turns to God in prayer. And it's a pretty strong prayer in the sense that his emotions are very raw. He comes to God and he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't sugarcoat what he's feeling. He doesn't sugarcoat what he's thinking. He just lays it all out and says, God, what are you doing? This is where I'm at. And he lays it out before God in prayer. And the first question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are we doing that? Are we going to God right now in prayer? We're all feeling a lot of emotions, fear, frustration, uncertainty. But what are we doing with those emotions? Are we internalizing them and carrying them? Or are we going to God in prayer, saying, God, this is how I feel. This is where I'm at. God has opened the door for relationship with us through Jesus Christ. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we have access to God. We see this spelled out for us in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Now, the writer of Hebrews is using a lot of Old Testament references here, a lot of sacrificial references, but his point is very simple. Because of Jesus, we have access to God the Father. We can confidently approach him. Now, that doesn't mean just strutting in and, "Hey, God, I'm here." It's not an arrogant boldness, but we can confidently approach God in a posture of love and devotion. To go to God and say, "God, I love you, I praise you," but even in that love and devotion, say, "I just want to be honest with you right now. God, here is what I'm experiencing. God, here is what I'm struggling with. God, what in the world are you doing?" And so this morning we need to understand that the first next right thing, to borrow that expression from the Frozen movie, is simply to go to God honestly in prayer. To say, "God, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm feeling, God. What are you doing?" Now it's interesting because when Habakkuk does this, God answers. And we see this recorded in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. God says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you." Now, I find it fascinating here that when God responds to Habakkuk, there's no anger. He doesn't say, "How dare you say that to me? How dare you speak to me?" He doesn't condemn Habakkuk for sharing his brutally honest feelings, his brutal honest feelings. He simply responds and he says, "Okay, let's pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm about to say." And he goes on for the next several verses to say, "I am doing something and you won't understand it. I am doing something you won't understand." For the next six verses, God describes a scene that is indeed confusing for Habakkuk. He shares that the Babylonians are going to come and punish Israel, that the Babylonians will be his instruments of justice. And now, historically speaking, this is exactly what's going to happen. The Babylonians will come in and they'll carry the Israelites off into captivity. God had warned the people early on, back before they even went into the Promised Land, "If you obey, if you follow me, if you worship me, you can stay in the land. You can be my people and I will bless you. But if you disobey, I will take you out of the land." And God is following through with those promises. The challenge here for Habakkuk is the how. God is doing exactly what he said he would do. He is addressing the evils that Habakkuk was upset about, but he's doing it in an unthinkable way to Habakkuk's mind. He's using a more evil nation to punish Israel, which leads to Habakkuk's question again of, "What in the world, God, are you doing?" And so throughout chapter 1, God and Habakkuk have this dialogue back and forth. But at the end of the day, Habakkuk lands on this idea. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Okay, I will stand at my watch and I station myself on the rampart. I'm going to stand right here, God, and I will look to see what you will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." He essentially says, "I don't get it, but I'm going to listen and I'm going to watch." This is what God told him to do. At the beginning of God's first response, he says, "Okay, pay attention. You're not going to get it, but pay attention." And now Habakkuk comes to his conclusion of, "Okay, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to watch." For Habakkuk, this is the next right thing. When he doesn't understand the world around him, he starts with taking his concerns to God. And then he sits and he listens. He sits and he watches what God does next. Last week, I shared a verse from Psalm 46, verse 10. I want to share it again. God says, be still and know that I am God. And I believe that's the second next right thing. To be still and listen. To be still and watch. To listen and know that God's in control. God, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to listen. I'm going to see what you are doing in the world. In all of our confusion, in all of our unknowns, we know one thing that is constant. God is God, and he's in control. And so, God, I'm just going to sit, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to listen. And so we can go to God and bare our souls to him. We can dump out our raw emotions. God, this is what I'm struggling. This is what I'm feeling. And then just sit back and watch. Sit back and listen as we invite him to speak, as we invite him to work. Again, Facebook and other social media platforms have been helpful for me personally lately, just to see what people are doing and kind of have some kind of social interaction. And there's some interesting things that are being posted right now. There are a lot of posts popping up on my stream along the lines of, hey, what if God is using all of this to do X, Y, and Z? What if God's using it to do this or to this? Now, I don't know that I buy into a lot of these theories people have right now, but I think it seems obvious people are listening. People are watching. People are saying, God, what are you doing? And they're trying to pay attention. Now, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that we can't guess what God is doing. We're not going to fully understand what God is doing. That's what God told Habakkuk. You're not going to understand this, but pay attention. And so I think if we get to a point where we go, well, I know, or I have a firm guess on what God's doing, there's a good chance we might be wrong, unless God speaks to us. And if God says, here's what I'm doing, great. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9 kind of reminds us of this. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We need to remember that God's ways, God's methods, God's thoughts are better than our own. We're not always going to understand them in the season we find ourselves in, but he knows what he's doing. And he invites us to watch. He invites us to watch him as he works. He invites us to listen as the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we watching? Are we listening for God in our lives and in the world? God and Habakkuk conclude their conversation as God paints a picture of the future. The Babylonians will invade. The Babylonians will conquer Israel as punishment. But then the Babylonians will also be punished themselves. At the end of the day, God is in control of all things. And it's Habakkuk's response to all of this that I find fascinating, that I find helpful. He concludes his short book of this dialogue by making a final statement. And it's a statement that is both helpful and pretty challenging. He says in chapter 3 at the very end of the book, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. We need to understand from this passage, Habakkuk lives in an agrarian society. Life is based on growing things. One's future is found in the ability to raise animals and have cattle. And he paints this picture of everything of value being taken away. He says, if everything I find stability in fails, if there's no income to be had, if there's no certainty in my future, if I don't know how I'm going to provide for my family, if I don't know what the future holds, nevertheless, despite all of those things, I will praise God. Despite all of these things, I will find joy in God. I will find strength in God. Habakkuk does the third next right thing. He places his trust in God. He exercises faith as he praises his sovereign, complete control, sovereign creator. He doesn't place his trust in his own abilities. He doesn't put his trust in his retirement investments or his own safety nets. He doesn't place his trust in his government or in others to provide for him. He says, I trust in God. I trust that God will see me through this uncertainty. And I wonder this morning, how many of us can say the same thing? I mean, none of us want to have to say these kind of things. I don't joyfully talk about losing everything. I don't joyfully talk about having the kids out of school for the next 10 years, the way it feels right now. But if that was my reality, could I say the same thing? Can we praise God in the middle of this storm? Ultimately, where do I put my trust? Where do you put your trust? In whom do you trust? And maybe in the back of our minds, if you're like me, I'm going, okay, but how can Habakkuk say all this? How can he say these things? How can he be so certain in uncertain times? And the answer is simple but profound. It's he knows who God is. And I think this might be the first and most important thing, the origin of our confidence, knowing God. This is perhaps the most important next right thing, the origin of doing the right things. It's knowing God. If we don't know who God is, who he truly is, the future will indeed seem dark. Now, many of us feel like we know about God. There's this old gray bearded guy up in the clouds, and he's watching, and if I do enough good stuff, he'll let me into heaven. He'll let me into paradise. That's not God. Habakkuk didn't have faith in some obscure notion of a guy in the sky. It wasn't some obscure, well, there's some nice guy up there watching. No, he knew God personally. He knew God intimately. They're having a conversation. They're talking. That's what the whole book is about. They know each other. God's deepest desire is to have a relationship with us. The problem is that humanity has broken that bridge. We have chosen to do things our way rather than doing it God's way, rather than saying, God, I'm going to trust in your way of doing life. And in that brokenness, sin has entered the world. And the truth is, we don't take sin as seriously as we should. We question, you know, God, if you're real and you have this issue with sin, what's the big deal? Why can't you just let it go? There's another Frozen song. God, why can't you just let it roll off your shoulder? Well, the answer is God is a holy God. And holiness and sin are like repellent magnets. They can't be together. And we go, it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's just a couple things. Why is it such a big deal to God? I don't understand holiness, and therefore I don't understand the problem with sin. Maybe the simple answer this morning is it might be something much like Habakkuk. God said, I'm going to explain this, and you're not going to get it. I think many times God's saying, look, sin is a big deal, and I'm going to explain it, and you're just not always going to understand it. But the bottom line is, sin separates us from God. The relationship is broken. We can't know him because of our sin, but God says, I still want that relationship. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make a bridge. And so God does the unthinkable. In order to have a restored relationship with us, that we might know him intimately and personally, he sent his one and only son, Jesus. Jesus comes into the world to pay the price for each of our sins, not just as a general concept, but for your sin and my sin. Romans 3:23 tells us the cost of sin, the penalty of sin, the consequences of our sin is death. Is separation from God. But God gives us eternal life through Jesus. In other words, God made a way for relationship. We can know him intimately, personally, through Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to pay the price. He dies in my place, in your place, in all of our places. And then he rose again from the dead. He's not dead anymore. He rose from the grave. He found new life, just as we now can find new life in him. And not just for now, for eternity. We can know God and therefore have certainty in our future. Now, maybe this morning, much like me when I overheard my son watching Frozen, you're watching this video over someone's shoulder. Or maybe one of your friends has shared this video on Facebook and you're watching it because you've run out of things to stream on Netflix and you're going, what does all of this mean? I'm hearing this. Please hear me when I say this morning, you can know God and know your future. You can have a relationship with God and know the future. Now, I don't mean that to say that I know what the future brings. I don't know what these next few weeks will bring. But God does. And he will see us through it. He will see me through it. He will see you through it. We can do this together with him. It starts by doing the next right thing. It starts with knowing him as an intimate, loving God who wants a relationship with us. A relationship where we can come before him in prayer and share our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, whatever we're going through, bring that to him in prayer. And then once we share that in prayer, just sit back and listen. Let him speak to our heart. Sit back and listen. Say, God, or sit back and watch. God, I'm going to watch your hand at work in the world. All because we trust him. We love him. We praise him no matter what life brings. When Habakkuk faced an uncertain world, these things saw him through. And I think they are probably the next right things, the best right things for us to be doing right now. Now, let's be honest. These are not easy things to do. These are very hard things to do. And you might need help. You might need help to start a relationship with God. You might need help to say, how do I even begin to have an honest prayer with God, an honest conversation with God? You might need help. God, how do I sit still and listen? You might need help to find the ways to put your trust and praise in him. You're not alone. This whole social distancing thing should actually be bringing us closer together on a relational level. If you need help, turn and talk to the person next to you at home. Talk to your family. Talk to your kids about this. Say, I'm struggling with this step. What step are you struggling with? If you live alone, and I know many of you are home by yourself right now, pick up the phone and make a call. Send a text. Reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm struggling to do the next right thing. How can you help me with this? How can we talk through this? Send me an email. My email address is pastorjan@hbicchurch.com. If you're saying, I need help, I need to talk to someone, I need to figure out how do I take these steps, send me an email. We'll set up a time to talk. I want to be here to help you. This is, I know many of you are there to help me. We need to take the next step together. We will get through this together. Not because we are strong human beings who can figure all this stuff out. Not because of that. But because we know the strong, all-powerful God who holds the future. Because we know God and we come together in his name as a body, as a believing family, he will see us through. He loves us. And he wants us to know him. And so this morning, I simply ask you, what is the next step for you? What is the next right thing that you need to do today? It needs to start with God. He will see us through this. Let's pray. God, this morning, we are all sitting in our homes in different locations, struggling with what does this world look like anymore? God, what are you doing right now? And if we sit back and watch, and if we sit and listen, we see subtle ways that you are working and some profound ways that you are working. God, I pray over the weeks and the days and the weeks to come that you would help us to dig into our relationship with you. That we would come to you honestly in prayer and bare our souls and know that you hear us and you're listening and you want to speak into our lives. Help us to be still. Help us to watch with open eyes. And God, at the end of the day, help us to praise you in the storm, to trust you no matter what. God, I pray that you would connect us with one another. Thank you for technology. Thank you for ways of connection. Help us to connect together to see one another through as the body of Christ, as a family of believers, because you are God and you are in control. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Tim's back with us. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Hi. Well, we're going to worship some more. We're going to worship the God who knows the future. So stand, sit, sing, listen, whatever you're comfortable with, but join us as we worship. That's church for today. That's church for today, but thanks for joining us. Again, I don't know if you're sitting with your slippers, propped with your feet up, if you're in the kitchen, if you're in the living room. I don't know where you are, but I know we are together because of the Holy Spirit being with us. And so we will continue to worship. We will continue to gather in different unique ways. We will continue to trust in our God who's in control. I pray you have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, until we meet in this way again, and until we meet together again. Know that God is in control. Have a wonderful week.